not linoleum knife.
Well, a very special linoleum knife, perhaps.
But it's not linoleum
knife. No. Here's the deal. Well, first of all, you're Dave White.
Yes.
I'm Alonzo Duraldi.
Correct.
We're the host of this show. Couple things happening this week. A, I'm going out of town. I'm going to be in Atlanta for the Jewish Film Festival. I'm on their jury. I'm very excited about attending. It's going to be really cool.
Yep.
Second of all, it's Oscar week, and we do not feel like talking about them. And if you want to hear me talk about Oscars, go check out this week's episode of Breakfast All Day, where Christy, Matt, Ben, and I go on for like half an hour talking about Oscar stuff.
And didn't we just recently run into a friend of the show who has been a guest once before, more than once before, who told us that he wanted to come on and do a post-Oscar situation.
We're hoping to have that happen.
That would be lovely.
Because he's going to be up close and personal, so he'll have fun stories.
Yes.
And then third of all, because it's Oscar weekend, the only big movie opening this week is How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World.
Neither one of us have seen it
yet. And we really can't review it as such because we've known the director for a long time. So we thought instead we would offer up a special episode in which we do an LKTV, a podcast of the television, and a Linoleum Knife and Fork, a podcast of the food, aka a food podcast hosted by two film critics.
Yes.
Now, normally, you only get hear...
Speaking of food podcasts hosted by two film critics, the pizza's here. Oh, turn off that recorder.
One moment, please. Okay. One pizza later. Anyways,
the
I was saying.
Come, we ate some.
We did.
And
where I was going with this is that normally to listen to LKTV and Linoleum Knife and Fork, you would have to be a subscriber to our Patreon page at patreon.com/linoleumknife, where we offer both of these shows as additional content to subscribers, along with a third show, Linoleum Nights, the one where we don't keep the language clean and we talk about more controversial topics.
Really political pizzas.
Yes, exactly. The most political. And then, you know, we also have cool prizes and hangouts and all kinds of extra stuff. So anyway, patreon.com/linoleumknife. Go check that out. But we're giving you a sample of what our Patreon folks get with this special episode.
What he's trying to get at.
I think I got it.
Is that if you're here looking for linoleum knife, this is not linoleum knife.
Yes, well,
there will be no cinema discussions.
Yes.
There will be discussions of television. There will be discussions of food. There will maybe be the commingling of those things.
Maybe.
Because I have two lists in front of me. And only one of them will be going forward toward becoming America's Next Top Model. I have two lists in front of me.
With three beautiful topics stand in front of me.
Yes, two beautiful lists in front of me. I made an LKTV list, and I made a Linoleum Knife and Fork list.
Yes.
And if we feel like bouncing back and forth in between the topics, that will be something that has never been done before. But who's to say we shouldn't do it now?
Hang on to your hats. Gird your loins.
Because we've got a whole bunch of TV stuff to talk about.
We still haven't finished Russian Doll, but next time we will.
Right. Listen, just because we say we're going to finish something doesn't mean we're going to finish it by the next episode.
Oh, heavens no.
It means we're going to finish it when we get around to it.
Yeah.
But we have finished with this week's episode of The Bachelor.
Whoo! Whoo, boy!
And I gotta say, I miss Demi because she was a firecracker.
She was a pot stirrer.
Yep. Also, I am beyond impatient and done with waiting for Colton to jump over that fence.
They've been promising it all season.
They've been promising it since the premiere.
Yes.
And as someone said on Twitter, Trump's going to have his wall built before Colton jumps over his. Apparently, here's the gossip.
Mm-hmm.
He's not currently wearing any kind of signifying ring to suggest that he might now be engaged.
Yeah, but men generally don't, right?
Men generally don't. That is one thing that's been happening. Like he's very obviously he's completely tight-lipped about it because he has to be.
There's some old 60s Playboy floating around this house because I'm sure it has something else on the cover, but there's an advice column.
I'll tell you exactly what it had on the cover.
Is it the Christmas one?
We have three issues of Playboy magazine from the 1960s. All three of them are Christmas themed. Christmas themed issues. They're all from December, and the covers and the contents of a Christmas themed issue of Playboy from the 1960s is an aesthetic dream come true.
Well, there anyway, is
so much. If you're into visual like packaging, if you're into design, fonts, you know, like all the things that you can like from the 1960s were always packed into a Playboy magazine, but the Christmas episode
issue.
I keep saying episode. The Christmas issues, flabbergasting.
Anyway, one of them has an advice column in which they basically tell men that, well, yeah, women have to wear wedding rings, but meh, you don't need to.
For a long time in the culture, men weren't expected to wear a wedding band.
Yeah.
Heterosexual men marrying women.
So they could keep, you know, flirting with stewardesses or whatever.
It was only the woman was expected to wear the wedding ring to show that she was...
off the market.
Taken. Yeah. And that apparently that went all the way up to the 60s and 70s with guys like, oh, you don't wear a wedding ring? No, of course not. Hmm. Listen, who can figure out straight people and their bizarre rituals and ownership situations?
So you're saying Colton's not wearing like a promise ring or anything?
God, no. You know what? He'd probably be wearing a purity ring at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of purity rings, I did a little digging on Cassie.
Uh-huh.
My favorite person. The one that I think should win. Okay, so you know how Demi and Katie were the ones running around filling everyone's heads with the idea that Kaylin and Cassie were saying that they were only on the show to explore other opportunities in life, such as perhaps becoming the next Bachelorette.
Right.
Well... Cassie might not be there.
For the right reasons?
For the right reasons.
Oh, no.
After all, here's why. She already did a reality show.
Oh?
Uh-huh. A Christian reality show.
Oh.
That was like on the internet or something. Oh, yeah. She is totally, devoutly evangelical Christian.
Oh, boy.
Which means, going forward, that if she gets to that fantasy suite night...
They're playing Uno.
Yeah. She gets to fantasy suite night.
Yeah.
A.K.A. sex room.
Right.
Oh, by the way.
Do we think he's going to sex anyone in the sex room?
This concept, utterly shocked newbie watcher, friend and neighbor Gary Cotty, who's like, what are you talking about? I was like, fantasy suites. It's right after Hometown. All they did was say Hometowns.
Is Hometown coming up?
Hometowns.
Yeah, said, if you drank when they said Hometowns this week, congratulations, you're dead.
Hometowns. Week is what you get right before Fantasy Suites week. Fantasy Suite is the sex room.
Yeah.
If you are the bachelor, you have sex with all four women if you feel like it and if they agree. If you are the bachelorette, you have sex with all four dudes if they feel like it and they agree.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is a show where the goal is to bang it out before you're done.
This is getting the milk for free week.
Yeah. Yes. Now, we know that jumping the wall comes during Fantasy Suite Week. We do know this.
Okay.
I learned this on the internet.
Ah, okay. Yes.
So next week, he's not jumping any walls.
Okay. Now, here's something that occurred to me watching this week.
Yes.
Because it felt to me like there's so many head games going on in terms of people telling him what other people's intentions are.
It's
and him
super tattletale-ish going on the past.
And him,
weeks.
Of course, having no way of knowing because everyone is telling right. him, you yes. know, what he wants to hear.
I'm here. I've only got your best interests.
Exactly.
At heart.
I'm here for you.
To tell you the dirt on every
but those,
single
those other vixens. Forget about it.
Super vixens.
So, but here's my question. Like, yes. is this a valid strategy for this game, or are the producers kind of telling him, well, I wouldn't lean too much on what, you know, this woman says, but
listen,
she's...
If we've learned anything from watching the show Unreal, and I do believe we have...
I like to think so.
...is that everyone is in this snake pit is a snake.
Fair enough.
I just thought maybe Cassie was the nicest one and the most like a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because they even say her little Chiron is like, I'm a speech pathologist. Well, she's currently studying to become a speech pathologist or something like that. Like, it's not, she's not keeping, that's not her dream career, apparently. Uh-huh.
It's being an evangelical on reality shows.
She's keeping it open, it would appear. So.
Because they've certainly never done a Bachelorette season where the hook was, she's a virgin.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
I don't think they've ever done a Bachelor season. Where
well, no, that's what I'm saying, because that's the hook this time, and it's a hook because it's new.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, it's one thing to do that for, like, look at this strapping, attractive man. Can you believe he is, you know, untainted?
Untainted.
I think for a woman, it's a weird thing to say.
No one has tainted his taint. Just
his,
yet.
His beautiful flower is intact. I think it would be weird and probably gross to hype a woman's participation in a show like this in that way. But then I find so much of the show to be weird and gross. Anyway, I don't know where the lines are.
There are no lines.
Apparently.
And there is nothing good or worthwhile about this program.
And yet, here you are.
Yet I cannot stop watching it. And now that I have watched an entire season of The Bachelor, and watched women humiliate themselves for a man, I've lost my distaste for it.
Oh no, you have a taste for human blood.
I used to only think that it was cool to watch the guys humiliate themselves for a woman on The Bachelorette, but now I see.
Yeah,
watching women humiliate themselves for a man is equally entertaining.
And then they all get to go on Bachelor in Paradise and do it all over again.
I had this idea that, you know, to be, you know, a good man who believed in feminism was to be against The Bachelor.
It's about equal opportunity, Dave.
But now I see.
It's about reaching parity.
That people being horrible, no matter what gender they are,
is good TV.
It's just beautiful to watch on television. So I'm going to keep on now. I'm in for all this garbage. We're going to go through The Bachelorette this summer. This summer's going to be a beautiful Bachelorette season. Then at the end of the summer, there's going to be a great Bachelor in Paradise moment.
Horny Island.
Horny, yeah. Not too horny, though. You must be taken to the consent corner.
Oh, right, yes.
Because they
I forgot
sure
that
did,
was a thing, yes.
Yeah, they sure did run into a big heap of trouble with that last time. So, do I still believe that Colton might be gay? Maybe.
It's certainly not been unproven by anything on this season. If you walked in with that theory, there's nothing that makes you go, maybe I've had this chap wrong all along.
But he does seem To be gung-ho toward the idea of popping a ring on somebody's finger.
Yeah, because so, that's an indicator that you're not a homosexual.
Listen, I just want to... I only have Colton's best interests at heart.
I'm here for Colton.
I'm here for Colton and our relationship. And I just, you know...
I still can't get over the woman...
I just want him to marry Demi.
I still can't get over the woman who left because she couldn't deal with watching him have intimate moments with other people. And it's like, what did you think?
What intimate moments did you have with him?
Like, but still, like, you're in a pool of 50. Did you think it was just going to be the two of you? No.
Have you ever seen this show before? Sometimes I wonder who goes on the show never having watched a single episode. And wondering, like... Golly, I wonder what will happen. Like,
do they just audition for everything?
I guess.
Lordy.
Yeah, like Rumor Willis.
Which brings us to...
She got bumped off the Masked Singer this week.
Yes.
And when they took off her mask, I was like, okay, yeah, sure. Of course it's Rumor Willis, because A, as we said, this is the level of celebrity that you get on the Masked Singer.
Right.
At least this season. And then B... We don't quite know what Rumor Willis's career is at this point, but she seems to be auditioning for all the careers.
Well, singing...
All the time.
Singing is a part of it, because she was in a musical called Hello Again that we screened at Outfest like 1 or 2 years ago.
A film.
A musical production.
A film called Hello Again.
Yes.
I've never heard of this film.
I don't know if it is currently now on Amazon Prime for free, if you get Prime.
Does she sing in the movie?
She sings in it. It's got an interesting cast.
Does she play a lesbian or bi?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but it's got a kind of a cool cast. Martha Plimpton is in it. Cheyenne Jackson is in it.
Martha Plimpton. Cheyenne Jackson is also a man who seems to be... All doing all the things all the time.
Yeah, Jenna Ushkowitz from Glee, Nolan Funk, who was the lifeguard on Mrs. Maisel,
that guy, lifeguard guy,
who was in the Shallows. What am I thinking of? The movie that he did with Lindsay Lohan, the Paul Schrader film that Brett Easton Ellis wrote.
The Canyons.
Thank you. He was in that. T.R. Knight is in this movie. Audra McDonald. Him. So, you know, it's like a legit film. It's from Tom Gustafson, who did Were the World Mine. Okay. So, yeah. Anyway, so she has credibility as a singer.
Okay.
Someone has paid her to do it.
Well, she got her butt kicked off a Masked Singer. So.
Yeah, she made it a decent amount of time, though.
She was the lion. And I thought it was a Kardashian.
Because of the whole family thing.
Yeah.
I think I might have floated Rumor Willis at some point in this conversation.
Oh, did you? Coming in lately.
I think I did. Look.
Coming in at the end, I always thought it was her.
We can take it to the tape, but I believe I mentioned her name in this. Yes.
You haven't paid enough attention to this show.
Also true.
I keep paying attention to this show.
That's on you.
I'm doing it for the good of this gorgeous podcast.
Bless your heart.
It was a double elimination week.
Ooh.
Because they're coming down to the wire.
Mm-hmm. Who's left?
The monster.
The sloth.
The new. The peacock. Hang on. The monster, the peacock, the bee, and I forget who else. Anyway, I don't have a clue who the monster is.
Which one's Donny Osmond, do we think?
I think Donny Osmond is the peacock.
Mm.
And I think Patti LaBelle or Gladys Knight is the bee.
Oh. Don't trust the bee.
No. But the rabbit, I was the silly rabbit, and I thought it was... Lance Bass.
Right.
Because it was clear from the get-go that this was someone from NSYNC.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big, bold clue at the beginning. It was clearly someone from NSYNC.
And they threw in a rainbow flag to distract you.
They threw in a rainbow flag to distract us because clearly it's not Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
It's no one, it's no A-lister.
Right.
And it's not whoever the other two were. JC
and... The Brian?
I don't know. No, I think Brian is
a Backstreet Boy.
The dark-haired one's a little dready, little
Oh, the one that had the crazy white plastic hair for a while?
Yeah, yeah. Like him. Whatever his name was. You don't see hide nor hair of those two anywhere. But Joey Fatone and Lance Bass are out in the world hosting.
Hosting things.
They're presenting. They're hosting. They're being on shows as, you know, reality show contestants or as, you know, hosts of things.
Yeah, so, didn't Lance host the Finding Prince Charming?
I think he did.
And then Joey hosted whatever that a cappella competition show that inflicted us with pentatonics was.
Oh, did he host that?
Yes.
Well, good for him. I thought it was Lance because of the rainbow flag, but also because that costume was just a little too form-fitting.
Athletic cut.
And we all know and love Joey Fatone for being
ample.
Thick. Well, someone squeezed him into some Spanx because he's the rabbit.
Mm.
Yeah. He popped that mask right off, and I was like, whoa, you fooled me.
Well, he made it as far in this competition as
Joey
Rumor Willis.
Joey
Slimmer One.
Yeah. So, I cannot wait for this show to be over so that I don't have to pay any more attention to it. Having said that, when it comes back next year, I will be right back in.
Do we think it has done well?
Because I do love guessing.
Has it done well enough in the ratings and become enough of a pop culture thing that next year suddenly...
Bigger stars.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's going to happen.
Interesting.
Because they want them ratings.
Well, no. I know the show wants bigger names, yeah. But the question is the show a cool enough thing that suddenly bigger names want to get attached to it?
I think it's a more fun and goofy thing than, say, Dancing with the Stars.
Sure.
And which has already shown you what they think a star is.
True.
You know, when there are no real housewives on The Masked Singer.
Yeah.
Right? No one from any reality show has been on this season.
Yeah.
So now that they've gotten through season one and it's a big hit, they can probably aim for bigger fish.
Interesting.
People who are currently famous, currently working, and who are, you know, more likely to be household names.
Hmm.
So far this year, it's been Margaret Cho.
Right.
The biggest, most relevant person.
Like, still working.
In the cast. Until we get to whoever the B is. Because the B is someone who is clearly an R&B legend,
mm-hmm,
who wants to reach that younger audience. That, she said as much.
Gotcha. She probably also maybe got paid more so that then they could go, when everybody else they were going to, oh, well, you know, so-and-so, we've already got on board.
The clue
know.
Package this week was the B standing in a kitchen.
Oh.
And I thought, well, this is clearly Patti LaBelle.
Right.
And Gladys Knight also has a bit of a food,
yeah,
like side hustle.
We went to her chicken and waffle restaurant
in
Atlanta.
And it was not good, and I believe it has been closed since then.
By the way, somebody sent me an article on Twitter about...
Patti LaBelle is a food force in the world.
Chicken and waffle pizza?
No, thank you. That is not what I want. I want fried chicken and waffles. I do not want chicken and waffle anything else. I don't want chicken and waffle pizza. I don't want chicken and waffle reimagined. I don't want...
Keep your reimagining.
I don't want a McGriddle, which is kind of trying to be like a chicken and waffle situation.
Well, the KFC had that chicken and waffle sandwich that basically was a McGriddle, but lunch.
No thank you to that as well. I want actual chicken and waffles, and I want it to be at Roscoe's.
Oh, it gets worse.
What?
Papa John is doing it.
Well, that's disgusting.
Ugh.
Just on its face.
Oh, no, thank you.
No, we're not. We're not going to eat that. We, and by we, I'm talking about myself. The
yeah.
royal we.
No. Mm-mm. No, thank you.
Oh, but you know what I am going to eat?
What?
We're moving into linoleum knife and fork territory now.
Going to be a lot of segues here.
I saw a recipe. There's a blog called What's Gabby Cooking?
Mm-hmm. Who's Gabby?
It's Gabby.
Oh, what's she cooking?
She's also got a good Instagram,
uh-huh,
that tells you what indeed she is cooking.
I see.
Our friends, Matt and Adam,
mm-hmm,
are
pros.
Chefs slash food stylists slash food photographers.
Yes.
They have their own thriving business doing mm-hmm. all of these things. They work with her quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
They photograph a lot of what she does.
Gotcha.
And, which will is she, how I, that's how I found her.
Will she get a, will she get a Netflix show like, what's her face, who had the goth,
she may, you never Martha know. Stewart. I mean, like, she's an up and comer in for sure. But she's got a recipe on her blog this week for, a salted chocolate tart where the crust is Kettle brand potato chips.
I'm in.
And I think that sounds really good. And I think when you come home from Atlanta,
okay.
I will be making it because
so the crust,
I want to eat it.
The crust, like the bottom?
Yeah.
And it's just like crushed up?
Well, I mean, it's with, you know, like butter and flour. And
well, it, sure,
it's,
yeah.
It's got to
cohere.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
got to
okay.
cohere. Is that
sure.
a word? Cohere?
Yeah.
Okay. Cohesive.
Coherent.
Cohere. Oh, yeah, that's right. Cohere. Yeah. Bleh. I'm a professional writer, you guys.
English major.
And I was an English major in college. Just FYI. So I'm going to do that. I haven't done it yet.
We will report back.
I'm teasing that piece of information.
Don't you want to join our Patreon just to find out how these come out? Of course you do.
Stop plugging Patreon.
Never.
No, dude, you've done it once. You've done it once. Once is enough for an
Fine.
Episode.
Fine.
All right.
I'm going to mention it at the very end, just so you
fine.
Know. Warning you now.
All right, fine.
Okay. Just
be quick about it.
Very well.
Speaking of the kitchen and the desserts,
mm-hmm.
and this has been a week of upheaval in the kitchen.
In general, or just yours?
In my kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Because, first of all, normally on Linoleum Knife and Fork, we talk a lot about the things I have made.
Yes.
In the past week. We do a lot of discussion about things I've actually cooked. Because I do a lot of cooking. The whole reason we have the show Linoleum Knife and Fork is because listeners to Linoleum Knife were like, I love hearing you talk about what you're making for Sunday dinner when you record the show. And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess it's a show all by itself now, isn't it? But because it's been a week of upheaval in the kitchen, I haven't really made a lot of things that are of any interest. I've been, when you are about to leave town, my goal becomes
empty out the pantry.
Empty out the fridge specifically. Mm. Anything perishable, it's got to go. Because I don't want to be saddled with having to, like, eat it all myself.
Right.
When you're gone.
Well, you had a pie crust and some salad greens. The next thing I knew, we were having quiche.
I had, I'll tell you, sometimes when it comes to the pie crusts, I cheat. Sometimes I just go to the grocery store and get those Pillsbury already made, already rolled up in a little tube pie crust. You just unroll it, slap it in the pie pan.
You don't have to stab it with forks.
You don't have to do a damn thing to it. And it ain't bad. Like,
yeah,
if you
fine.
Are if you are not particularly, you know, crust snobby, you're not going to be unhappy with that kind of crust.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, Loretta Lynn's flaky Crisco crust
no,
or anything,
no,
but
of course
it's, it does the trick. You
know? I mean, I can make a homemade crust that is...
Oh, you can.
Beautiful.
That will bring tears to the eyes of the angels.
Of the crust lover. But in a pinch, that Pillsbury ready-made crust is not your enemy.
Yeah.
And I had one left over from Christmas time or something because I was like, I was in a hurry for some reason at Christmas and I was like, I don't have time to make a pie crust. Go to the store.
Mm-hmm.
To you. Go to the store. Get me ready-made crust. Had one left over. Had a bunch of veggies left over from this or that. Had some mushrooms left over. You can't let mushrooms go for very long.
Yeah.
So I just made a quiche for dinner. And it was real nice.
Yeah, it was.
But I didn't even have a recipe. Like, I just was like, okay, I'm just going to throw all this in.
Well, can we talk about the upheaval? Because I think some people might find this of interest.
Well, the upheaval came about because I was making a cur a la creme for Valentine's Day, which is a, we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
It's a sort of a cream cheese slash creme fraiche, sort of a sweet cream, sweet cheese dessert.
Yeah. That you serve with the fruit sauce.
You serve with raspberries or strawberries or a sauce, or, you know, some sort. Your sister gave us a cur a la creme mold, which is in the shape of a heart. And I was looking for it. I couldn't find it. It was lost in the back somewhere.
It was unused since last Valentine's Day.
Correct. And so in the process of digging out, I realized that, you know, everything in the cupboard is covered with sawdust because our
drawers are wooden.
Our drawers are very old and they're wood. And every time you push it in and pull it out, it creates a little dust. Mm-hmm. And anything that sits in there for a while gets covered in this sort of sawdust. Every time I use a new pan from under the cabinet that's in down there,
little rinse.
It's got to get rinsed off before it gets used. That is what's one of the beautiful charms of living in a vintage apartment.
Yes.
Yeah. So, started pulling stuff out, realized that, first of all, everything's completely disorganized down there. And you look for things, you'll get down on the floor on your belly looking for things. But it's time.
And you pull one thing out and everything else sort of collapses in a way. And it's
just, yeah, exactly. So we pulled everything out.
Yeah.
Not to do a Marie Kondo situation, but that is kind of what wound up happening.
Yes. I thought we were just going to, you know, organize it and put things in by category or whatever, but you actually discovered, I don't need all of this stuff.
Right. I have accumulated things over the years. Like, I don't need, like, the fifth casserole dish.
13 by 9.
I don't need, you know, a second set of metal mixing bowls. Mm. I don't need the Pizzelle.
You never needed the Pizzelle.
I've never... Listen. My friend Molly gave me the Pizzelle in 1990. I don't know when.
Before you met me?
No.
No?
No, it was after.
Okay. Well, before we lived together, right?
Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, that looks interesting. Maybe someday I'll use that. That was 22 years ago. And I've never used it.
And it's very complicated looking.
Well, it's not complicated looking. It's heavy and it's old. And it makes one Pizzelle at a time. Now, Pizzelle is a little
waffly,
a little
cookie.
Waffle type cookie kind of thing you put in between a... It's a press.
What do you put in there? Like, dough?
It's like a batter.
And then after you press it, then you fry it or whatever?
I don't know.
I see.
All I know is every Pizzelle I've ever eaten in my life has come from some professional bakery.
Yes.
And A, I don't eat them very often. And B, when will I make this?
Yeah.
And for whom? Other than us,
right.
One at a time.
I'm still waiting for you to bust out the churro maker that we bought last time we were in Spain.
Yes, and so, but that's going to happen.
Yes.
Because that we made a pact. Anyway, back to the Pizzelle. It weighs about 9 pounds.
Yeah.
And
it's like, what, 2 feet, 3 feet long?
It's about, I would say, 14 to 16 inches long.
Okay.
Wooden handles and very heavy metal press.
Yeah.
So it's now sitting by the door waiting to go to the thrift store. It's going to say bye-bye.
And some gay will see it at the thrift store like, Pizzelle.
Oh, Pizzelle. It's a vintage one, too.
Delighted.
I'm going to make a Pizzelle. You're going to take it home. You're not making.
So. It's going to haunt your kitchen for the next 20 years.
Watch, this is like the...
It's the ring of the kitchen implements.
It's the cheese touch. Yeah, it's the ring. You won't die. You'll just look at it and go, when am I ever going to use that? Maybe someday.
Oh, one of these days.
If I get around to it. Yeah. So in the end, we learned that the real friends we made along the way. In the end of this process, not only had I inadvertently Marie Kondo'd the
pot and pan
pots
cabinet.
And pans, I got rid of a colander.
Yep.
I had a second colander, only it only had two of its three legs. Why was I waiting for it to grow another leg? I don't know.
I thought it was like a snow crab.
So now everything's perfectly organized.
Yes.
In a way that we can maintain.
Yeah.
If only we are thoughtful.
Mm.
Alonzo, when you're putting things away, instead of just throwing them in the cabinet.
This is my fault.
Well, it is. I know
you,
what you're like.
You,
you
are an equal co-conspirator and just like, here's a space, shove. But now that, what I said to you was, you need to determine what goes where so that it can go back there when we're done with it.
Right.
So.
And that is what we have done.
Yes. It's very exciting.
Everything's great now. I vacuumed out the inside of the cabinet to get all that sawdust up off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's great now. Got a new lease on life in that kitchen.
Zippity-doo-dah.
So we watched the Olivia Newton-John movie.
Woo! Oh, Lifetime. Although, really, this was an Australian production they picked up, but it definitely fits the Lifetime, low-budget lifestyles of the rich and famous biopics that they've been doing ever since that Lindsay Lohan, Liz and Dick movie.
Everything shot in close-up so that they wouldn't have to go, period, with much of anything
right.
other than costumes and hair. And clearly chopped to pieces for American television.
Yeah, I just now realized in looking it up before we talked about it that it was a two-parter, like a two-part miniseries on Australian TV, but here it all fits in 2 hours. So like the first chunk of the movie is just like career point, career point, career point, career point. Like you're just leaping forward years and years and years.
No build-up, no follow-up, just like bam, scene from a moment.
This thing happened, boom. And now this thing happened, boom.
Starring Delta Goodrum. Now, y'all who are listening in Australia and perhaps the United Kingdom, you know who this person is. She is a recording artist who has put out records and has had hits. That is not the case for Delta Goodrum in the United States. And I gotta say, I've been obsessed, low-key obsessed, most of my life, from like childhood till now, with what happens on the pop charts in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm just always curious, always interested, who's that? What do they do? Where do they come from?
Why are they covering that song?
Why? Yeah. This is why I know way too much about Betty Boo, the Cheeky Girls, Sophie Ellis Bextor.
Who else? The Frog. What was the Frog song or whatever?
Oh, I forget the Frog song. But
the puppet with the zipper mouth.
Vanessa something. She's from Australia. And she had this, like, irritating song called, like, Absolutely Everybody that was a minor hit in the United States.
Huh.
And when I heard it on the radio in Dallas, I thought, who is this? What is this? This sounds Euro. Where did this come from? So again, doing my research on the nascent internet back then. And, you know, I'm fascinated by that stuff. I'll tell you what, I've never heard of no Delta Goodrum before. She went right under my radar. Fully under it.
Yeah.
I even know the names of people who were runners-up on X Factor. Like, that's... I know there's another Rebecca Ferguson out there who is not the actress from Mission Impossible and The Greatest Showman.
Well, my favorite...
She's a lovely singer from Liverpool.
My favorite
accent I cannot understand.
My favorite singer who shares a name is the girl that won Australian Idol named Casey Donovan.
Yes.
Which is also the name of a male adult film star of...
The 1980s.
The 70s and 80s. And apparently when she won, they like did these big ads out and they put her web address, but they put the wrong web address. And so it took people to the address for the other Casey Donovan.
Oh my God. Okay, so I have to tell you about a thing. Delta Goodrum is in her 30s.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the film, Olivia is in her teens.
Well, she's not playing her then,
and then in her 20s. And when she's in her 20s, she becomes Delta Goodrum.
Yes.
And then I want Olivia Newton-John look like in her 20s.
Yeah, it's not like also, we don't know. It's not like she wasn't, you know, didn't appear in photographs and on television.
Also, Delta Goodrum, a fine singer. If a little unremarkable.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't pick her voice out of a lineup.
No, it is workmanlike.
But you know whose voice you can't pick out of a lineup? Vintage Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
So much so that in the 1970s, people who would impersonate her or parody her would do that sort of like, like this super breathy kind of
his
voice.
His mind is not the first heartbroken.
Yes. Delta Goodrum is not so great at trying to
not so much
redo that. They put out a soundtrack record in Australia, apparently. And she sang songs with Olivia Newton-John on the soundtrack.
Although I suspect it was like, you know, it's a duet, like when Barbara Streisand duets with someone
Malibu,
who's dead.
And I will send you my recording.
No. Or if that, according to the Wikipedia page, it sounds like this movie was not done with any sort of permission or blessing from Ms. ONJ until eventually it was like, well, if you give the money that you owe me to my, you know, cancer charity, then okay, fine. It's weird.
Here's the other thing.
And granted, the editing, I think, has a lot to do with the result, because it's edited to what Lifetime viewers want to see, which means the stalker and the breast cancer. Because women can't suffer enough in these movies.
I don't care about the stalker. They catch him, by the way.
Yes.
I never knew about the stalker.
I did not either.
Until this movie. I also don't care about the cancer in terms of the narrative of the film, because they take the entire second half of the movie and it's all about the cancer.
Yes.
And
but
the
Lifetime's
first half of the movie is when she's singing If Not For You and You're the One That I Want and Xanadu.
Okay.
So the first hour is exciting. It's like boom, 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 thing. Second hour, I have cancer.
Yes. But that's
more singing. I just have cancer.
That is the Lifetime.
I'm so happy that she doesn't have cancer anymore.
Yes. This is a network,
though. But this is a boring movie about a woman who has cancer.
Sadly, yes. But no, you know how this network goes. When it's not Christmas time, it's all either like, you know, the woman who's trying to kill me, the man who's trying to kill me, or I have cancer. Like, that's what Lifetime movies are.
Right.
The Xanadu part is what makes this essential viewing.
Whoever made this movie only cared about the Xanadu.
Clearly skimped on everything else. Everything else. Like, obviously, this entire thing was shot in Australia. Whenever time they tell you that we're in Grauman's Chinese Theater and you see, like, these wooden beams in the ceiling, like, that's not Grauman's Chinese Theater.
No, it is not.
It's in, you know, Melbourne somewhere. But boy, they get the Xanadu stuff. When they recreate the final number down to, like, the costume changes and the special effects, the stage, the lighting inside of the stage, the dudes with the V-neck sweaters, like, it's all there. Some queen was like, yes, my whole life has led to this, the ultimate Xanadu cosplay. So you have to see this movie for that and for the appearance of the, like, bananas performance of the guy playing Alan Carr.
Did you notice that they were really pulling punches on that character?
How so?
Well,
Well, they left out the whole part where he got very mad at her for not taking the lead role.
Sure.
In Can't Stop the Music.
I'm talking about the Alan Carr presentation.
Uh-huh.
Because we have just both recently watched the Alan Carr documentary.
True. They don't put him in a caftan.
They put him in sort of like a robe or like an open caftan over like another shirt with like some beads and stuff. And I'm like, okay, he wasn't a hippie. He was a queen. Get it right.
He is your OG, and you will respect him as such.
Him wasn't going full tilt gay,
I guess.
And I'm like, if you're gonna be Alan Carr, you better be Alan Carr.
Yeah, go big
Alan
or go
Carr
home.
Was there in Alan Carr existed on this earth for a reason,
to go on the Merv Griffin show,
and that was to be as gay as a human being can be, full gay, all the way gay, wearing a caftan,
110%,
with floofy hair.
Big glasses.
And giant glasses that were pink. Like, you... And surrounded by half-nude 21-year-old, you know, surfers.
In Speedos.
Yeah. Not a hippie. Not some, like, fast-talking, cigar-chomping-y kind of dude, the way this actor is presenting.
Yeah, I mean, granted, it's not nearly as fun as the real Alan Carr who you see in this doc, but it's still, the fact they even tried for it, I thought it was just kind of funny. But yeah, you have to see the Xanadu
There's
sequence.
A woman who plays young Helen Reddy, and you have to be told that it's Helen Reddy.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm sorry, who are you supposed to be?
And like, oh yeah, and the guy...
Does no one remember what Helen Reddy even looked like?
The guy who plays Matt Latanzi is like such a regular dude. Whereas like Matt Latanzi, in that moment of like 79 through 82...
Speaking of Merv Griffin.
Was like, was this beautiful, almost androgynous, like, you know, that Calvin Klein model American Gigolo era of male objectification.
Yeah.
He was that to a T.
Yeah.
This guy ain't that.
No. Didn't Merv Griffin, like, discover Matt Latanzi or something like
that? No, you're thinking of Danny Terrio, I think.
Oh, okay.
Who later sued Merv Griffin.
For the things we think that he would sue for?
Yes.
That's what I figured. Danny Terrio.
Danny Terrio,
you
yes.
Said Danny. I think.
Danny Terrio. Yeah. Of Dance Fever fame. That was a show, kids.
This
Google
is,
it.
Yeah, Dance Fever was a show.
But no, beyond the Xanadu sequence, this thing is a big snore.
I didn't enjoy this in the way that I enjoyed the new Allison Sweeney movie.
Chronicle Mysteries.
Every time I think of Escaped, you pull me back in.
Well, it was one of our listeners on Twitter who said, if Dave thought she was unconvincing as a baker, wait till he sees her as a podcaster.
So, if you've never listened to LKTV before, you will know that we have followed the career of Allison Sweeney, actress, in a series of films that she made for the Hallmark Channel, in which she played a baker who owned a bakery and who also solved murder mysteries.
Yes.
She was pretty good at solving the murder mysteries. She's terrible at running a bakery. She's no longer running that bakery.
No.
The Christmas Murder Bakery, which was the name of it.
It should have been.
Good morning. Welcome to the Christmas Murder Bakery.
Are you here for the bakery or the murder?
I gotta go solve a murder. Now she's a podcaster.
Mm. And she's a podcaster who's listened to a lot of Serial and is going to tell you about a murder.
And then something really unexpected happened. There was a murder. Okay, so she plays a person who has a podcast and seemingly no other job.
She had been like a financial analyst or something in the city.
But she
has now left that to full-time podcast.
So she made bank.
Yes.
And has decided to become a podcaster.
Yes. Because there aren't nearly enough true crime podcasts in the world.
She got a mic that looks like a taser.
That's what they look like. That's the portable ones. We just don't own one because we're broke. But, you know, fancy. Like, I've seen Max Fun has those. That's the thing. They have these.
Where does Max Fun have those?
Well, not when you're in the studio, but like for out in the field. Like when we just taped the extra.
The times I've been on Pop Rocket or Who Shot You, there's a giant clunky thing hanging down.
Right. That's
face.
Different. No, well, we just taped our extra Who Shot You episode for the upcoming Max Fun Drive. Be on the lookout for that, folks. And we did it at Ricky's apartment. And producer Casey brought a bunch of those little doohickeys.
You did it at Ricky's apartment?
Yes.
What's that like? What's Ricky's apartment like?
He has a little DJ station set up in the corner of his living room.
Now that's perfect, and I'm happy about that. That's what he should have.
Yes. There's a big framed old, like vintage Cuba travel poster on one wall, which he says that every Cuban restaurant has one of them. It was nice.
So it's clean?
Yes.
Okay. I just think of him as having sort of like a sloppy bachelor apartment.
No. He has a girlfriend who comes over a lot, so I'm sure he's got to keep it.
He's got a girlfriend who comes over a lot.
No, I'm not saying she does the cleaning.
No.
He's got to keep it clean for her.
Yes,
absolutely.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, no, it's a nice apartment.
Okay, great.
Anyway, but it's basically these digital recorders that have these mics going in two different directions, and yes, it does look like a taser. It's weird. That's what she uses.
So of course there's a murder, but instead of like a regular,
it's murder, a cold case.
Instead of a regular murder podcast where they just talk about a murder that has happened in some other place a long time ago
and tell you the whole story,
tell you the whole story, and the circumstances are very unusual, and that's why it's interesting enough for you to listen to them tell you a story about it. She's solving a murder.
She's podcasting
while
as she goes.
Podcasting like she's.
Like, here's what's changed since last episode.
Yeah,
you know?
Since the last episode, I've been on the case.
Yeah.
She goes in and takes over an entire small town newspaper.
Yes.
And
because, well, at first, because...
Clears everyone out of a room, takes the dry... This dry erase board is mine now. I'll be slapping pictures of suspects on it.
Somebody calls, like, the boss of the paper, and he's like, oh, yes, give her whatever resources, you know, she needs, blah,
right.
blah, blah.
So and they're all sort of everyone like, in the office is like... Why is this person? Why is she here? She doesn't even go here.
We find out in like the middle way through the movie that her uncle is that she's the niece of the guy who owns the newspaper.
And by the end of the movie, like she's running the
She's
paper.
Like managing
like
editor.
He hired her. And you, oh God, you know everyone else in that office is like, oh, okay.
That's great.
So the boss's niece got that promotion and not me. I've been here 20 years. Burn this place to the ground.
I would look for a job elsewhere, but there are no newspapers left.
Oh, and she's going to go run her murder Christmas bakery at the same time?
No, but she is going to run her murder podcast off their site.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's going to spend half the day in the murder Christmas murder bakery and then like the other half of the day at the, you know... flouncing through the door of the newspaper. Actually, she'll be at the newspaper in the morning when all the baking is happening by someone else at Christmas Murder Bakery.
And then at night when they're...
As we have learned from the three Christmas Murder Bakery movies, that she's never there to do any baking.
I think there was like five of them, actually.
Yeah.
Then at night when they're putting together the late edition, she's going to be like off at the bakery, like just yakking it up.
Yeah, it's such a successful Christmas murder bakery. I decided to become a podcaster, too.
Hallmark movies and mysteries. They just keep them coming.
I will not be watching another one of these.
Fair enough.
You forced me through one.
I didn't force you. You volunteered.
No. Don't get my... dutiful spousal consent mixed up
with
my enthusiastic desire.
You volunteered because a listener wanted to know what you thought about it, and you are very good about giving the listeners what they want. I did not do anything.
You put it in the TiVo.
Well, yes.
Fully expecting me to comply.
I want to know what Allison Sweeney is up
let's
to.
Just...
She was on, do you know that she's been on Days of Our Lives for like 25 years?
This does not surprise me.
I did not know.
No disrespect to her.
No, she's getting paid.
She's organizing projects for herself.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
she's making it happen.
Christmas Murder Bakery, she was just acting in. But this is like she created this character. She's executive producing. It's a whole thing. If you are a fan of Ms. Sweeney, I would recommend you go check out the Hallmarkies podcast where they interview her this week. And she has some interesting stories.
I will not be doing that.
That's fine.
I don't care to hear her speak about anything other than her inability to bank. All the men who are in love with her while she's not banking.
And
her great podcasting.
They didn't specifically ask her if she did bake, but somehow it came up that like she does not cook at all. So,
of course not. She's been on a soap for 25 years. She's got to cook at home. Yes. Or she's out at nice restaurants in Los Angeles every night. She's at Fig and Olive right now.
I think they do Days is in New York, but yes, you're right.
I think they're all shot here.
No.
I think all the
soaps used to be shot in New York.
Double check on that one. I think they're all here now.
Okay. All right. I don't know. Well, let's find out.
She's still at Fig and Olive right now. I don't care where it's shot.
Sending something back.
She waltzes into Osteria Mozza every night. It's just like, oh, hello, Allison. What can we get for you this evening?
Something from the Barada Bar, perhaps?
So, let's jump back into some food things here.
Sure.
I'm looking at a cookbook.
Sweet.
The name of the cookbook is Sweet. It is by Valerie Gordon. It was a gift from our friend, Tom Ford.
Not the famous one.
Several years ago, Tom Ford gave me this cookbook. Look how pristinely clean this cookbook is.
Spine uncracked, pages unstained.
No pages bent, no expired coupons sticking out of it as markers for recipes. No dried sauces staining pages. Much like the pizzelle that is leaving this home, Sweet, the cookbook, has never been touched, other than for me to look at the cover, admire the glossy, gorgeous cake of perfection that's on the cover. Other than to look through the other photographs in the book and see how perfect they are as well.
So what are you going to make me from Sweet?
I have been terrified of this cookbook. I'll tell you something about the Christina Tosi cakebook that I have and the other Christina Tosi cookbook I have. Mm-hmm. Her stuff may be step intensive and take forever to do.
Yeah.
But if it comes out ugly looking, no one's going to yell at you. not least of which, Christina Tosi. Things not looking perfect is kind of part of the Christina Tosi aesthetic.
Sure.
So it makes you think that you can go in and do it, even though you probably are going to ruin it the first time, or second, or even the fifth. But Sweet is forbidding.
Because it's so beautifully art directed?
Because it's so beautiful. the thing on the cover is called the champagne cake. The ganache that is so gorgeously and perfectly and unblemished on the cake is the champagne ganache.
They used a protractor on that.
You make with champagne.
It is also...
They used a what, did you say?
I said a protractor. It's also geometrically
They used
perfect.
A Zamboni on this. But I've decided to not be afraid anymore because I pulled it off the shelf thinking, I'm just going to get rid of this. I've never used it. I'm going to get rid of it. It's too upsetting to look at.
I can't live up to this cookbook.
It taunts me from the shelf. But then I started really looking in.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, I could do this.
Okay.
This or that, whatever recipe, as long as I don't worry about how it looks.
Well, I mean, like,
over.
Are there cookies?
A lot of cakes.
I see.
And you know cakes are difficult.
Cakes are very difficult.
And you know I can't stop trying to make it.
Yes, which I appreciate. I appreciate your stick-to-itiveness.
I'm gonna dive right in. I'm gonna do it.
Okay.
I'm gonna make something from Sweet by Valerie Gordon. The whole reason I pulled it off the shelf was because I decided at the beginning of the year that there were a handful of cookbooks on this shelf
mm-hmm.
that I have not done anything from. Or that I've only done like one recipe from.
Mm-hmm.
And then put it away thinking, a little too advanced for me. But I'm ready to push myself and to get into it. And to like maybe for a nice goal would be for each episode to make something new from a cookbook I've never tried mm-hmm. before.
Well, did you make a second thing out of the Mayim Bialik vegan cookbook?
No, but that's for a reason.
I see.
That cookbook, it requires, first of all, it's straight up 100% vegan.
Well, yeah.
And I think we've had this discussion on this show before, where, like, the list of ingredients for each recipe is, like, as long as your arm.
Mm.
And it's ingredients that you have to go, there's really specialty kind of ingredients that you'd have to go to, like Erewhon or order them from online to get. Erewhon is a schmancy grocery store over in...
Only Bolivian chickpeas will work in this recipe. Yeah.
And it's not even a specially fancy cookbook. It's just a lot of work.
Right.
Like a lot of work.
So it's a vegan cookbook written by someone who probably has a personal chef.
There's not one doubt in my head that Mayim Bialik has a cook.
Yeah.
She's been in show business her entire life, other than those years that she spent getting a PhD in like nuclear physics or something. Like, right. I don't even know what it is she got her PhD in, but she's incredibly smart.
Yes.
She's a scientist and a sitcom actress and has no time to go home and make all these vegan recipes. Someone's helping her. So I look at that one on the shelf and I go, yeah. Invite me over to your house, Mayim Bialik. Let me watch you make this stuff. I got nothing against eating vegan. I love vegan food. I don't do it all the time,
yeah.
But I do it. But I'm not. It's too... The Thug Kitchen Cookbook for all of its problems. And it has many. Easy.
Mm.
Easy vegan stuff. Everything that I've made that was really delicious and simple and vegan mm-hmm. has come from the Thug Kitchen Cookbook. Mm. The stuff that you actually like.
Yes.
The stuff that is not like a red lentils and cannellini over rice casserole with all the vegetables that just happen to be left over in the fridge chopped up and thrown into it. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing tonight for dinner, so this is what I'm doing. I know you eat that casserole and you think, this is virtuous. I can't wait till we've put some meat in it and cover it with cheese. But all the good things I've ever made that were vegan come from Thug Kitchen
okay.
or from the Paltrow
cookbook. Yeah, no, yeah. Let's not forget.
Yeah.
These are the Paltrow cookbooks back when she wrote them with her personal
Julia
chef.
Tertian.
Julia Tertian, yeah. This new Paltrow cookbook, no thank you.
Yeah, I'm not, well.
It's clean!
I don't have, yeah, the clean one, no thank you to the clean cookbook. Vegans are in the news. So, there's a woman who is part of a Facebook group. The post is about, it's been deleted mm-hmm. since. Facebook group called Vegan Revolution.
Okay.
This woman's getting married. And they did not identify her. She said, she posted, when family, in quotes, tries to guilt trip you into letting them come to your fully vegan wedding, even though they are omnivores, she wrote, just for some context, some family members were told they are not invited to my wedding because we don't want to host murderers at our wedding, which is supposed to be one of the happiest days of our lives. Now, think about this.
You
this
give just, vegans a bad name.
This is family, friends,
yes.
The wedding party.
Yeah.
Like, anyone who is not a vegan, she has disinvited from the wedding. Wow. Because they are murderers. I
don't you love the doctrinaire of any kind?
I love her. Because you think that you think you've got like control issues going on in your wedding.
There's always these crazy anonymous web things. Like there was the woman who was like trying to get all these people to pay this money for her like dream destination wedding, and she got all mad because they didn't want to give her the money, and she's like, I thought you were my friends and you wanted my dream to come true. And right. It's like, it was just lunacy.
Here's another thing she said. They have consistently, she's talking about her family here. Uh-huh. Now this I think is the reason why it happened.
Okay.
She said, they have consistently attacked me and my partner just for being vegan.
Okay, yeah, now that's not cool.
That happens. That happens constantly. There's nothing that makes a non-vegan angrier than a vegan.
I don't know if that's true.
Oh, it is true.
It's up there.
It is so true. And talk to our vegan friends and ask them how they are treated by non-vegans. The level of mockery and derision. First of all, you goof on our vegan friends constantly.
Well,
to their
yeah,
faces
but
all
that's
the time.
But mockery and derision isn't the same as anger.
No, that's not. And so you are doing it just to, you know, bust their balls. But
I would say to get their goat, but you know.
But the I've well, there's a guy. I've got three vegan news items here. Admittedly, one is about a man who was fined $1,000 for threatening to stab his mother over a meat sauce that she made.
Because meat is murder, but actual murder is
justice.
Is a policy decision.
But there's another headline about a bank employee who telling a customer at the bank that all vegans should be punched in the face.
Look, what is it? How does it harm you?
I don't know. All I know is that we all have to get along here.
Yes. I like goofing on my vegan friends, but at the end of the day, you know, I don't try to like sneak bologna into their food or anything. Like I respect their decision. I just, you know, don't want to eat what they're necessarily going to serve.
I just think it's weird how this one issue makes people just rage. What is it?
I think this is at least a conception, whether or not it's true. But like, if you hear that somebody is a vegetarian, you're like, okay, well, fine. It's a dietary choice, or it's for your health, or, you know, you have, you know, personal thoughts about whatever, like, you know, that's fine. There's something about the notion of veganism that just feels like it's threatening, or like it's at least it's in your face, you know, like they're taking this all the way, you know, I'm not excusing it, but I'm just saying I think that's why what people are responding to. It's this notion of like, well, who do you think you are?
Trying to tell me how to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The vegans I know do not harsh on people.
No. And in fact, they're the first to kind of roll their eyes about like the hardcore vegans who do act like this and bar people from their wedding, you know.
But I don't get the non-vegans who are just like without provocation. They just are mad at the idea.
I don't know.
And the more conservative politically they are, the more mad they are at the idea.
Well, they're mad about everything, those people.
So anyway, I really want to know how this wedding turned out.
Not delicious.
But you don't know that. That's See, here's true. The thing.
It might have been.
The vegan wedding is the perfect opportunity for the vegans who are getting married
to bust out an awesome buffet.
To show the not vegans, check it out. Look, this is what you could be eating.
Yeah.
Listen.
Have a falafel yourself, and hot sauce.
You yourself, carnivore man. Mm-hmm. Every time we've been to Real Food Daily.
True.
You always say, well, if someone could cook for me like this three times a day,
you say that.
I would eat this way.
You say that, actually. I would. But no, and I
the sea cakes.
I see your point.
Well, those are so good.
Haven't had those.
They are good.
No, and I should. I could and should eat vegan more often. Periodically, so I'm
always trying to help you with.
Periodically,
that.
You make meals that are vegan, and they are tasty. But you know, I like. I could see a scenario in which I gave up meat and fish. I cannot see a scenario in which I give up dairy. That just seems like a bridge too far for me.
So you could be a vegetarian, but...
I could. I don't want to be, but I could see that being a possibility.
Right.
But the idea of giving up cheese and butter and milk? No. Nope. Nope.
Well, something's got to give or the planet's going to die.
Well, you know, it's going to die anyway.
Which is why we don't eat nearly as much beef as we used to.
Correct.
Just on a personal tip here. We've talked about this many times. Cows, the factory production of beef, you know, is a really destructive thing.
Yeah.
For the environment. And so...
But again, it's sort of like you and me not eating red meat as often.
I understand. No, it's individual...
pales next to, you know...
Individual actions can only go so far, which is why...
What ExxonMobil is doing.
That's why we need the Green New Deal.
Yes.
Or something very, very much like it.
Yes.
And it must take into account agricultural practices, industrial food production in this country.
Yeah.
And how... you know, it crushes small farmers,
mm-hmm.
and it is subsidized by the government to be as destructive as it can be.
Right.
And so hopefully, you know, this bill from Ocasio-Cortez and Markey,
mm-hmm.
something like it has to go through, and it has to happen really quickly.
Yeah, that's the thing. Clock's a ticking, and there's just way too many people sitting on their hands about it. So I don't know.
Because we have like 12 years to start fixing this in a serious, radically overhauled sort of way.
Yeah.
Changing the way America does business, or everyone's going to die.
Yeah. That's kind of where we are right
Unless now. They're super rich, and super rich people will figure out a way not to die.
Yeah, they'll have an underground domed city or the moon or
they'll
something.
They'll be Logan's Run or whatever.
Yeah.
Soylent
Green.
So that was a downer.
Yes, it was.
Two more food related topics.
Okay.
Both of them are insane. And by insane, I mean mildly irritating. I was being a little hyperbolic there.
What do you got?
Well, Jamie Oliver is back on his BS again.
Oh, brother. You'll have to be more specific.
Okay. We've talked about this before, but remember the show Jamie's 15-Minute Meals?
Oh, that take 45 minutes unless you have a team of sous chefs? Yes.
Yes. There was this really great show. Sorry for bumping the mic.
It aired Saturday mornings on CBS, and it was wall-to-wall soundtrack of snippets of Buffalo Stance.
Yes. The recipes were great, and some of them I have continued to make.
Mm-hmm.
There was a cookbook involved as well. But there would be a timer in the bottom of the screen counting down the 15 minutes, and I was like, when did you wash the vegetables?
Who cut up all these peppers?
Who chopped up all the stuff? Like, yeah. Oh, mushrooms? Who wiped each individual mushroom down to get the fecal matter off of
it? With a little brush.
Yeah, who brushed all the things off the mushroom? So annoying. Oh, I see these three new recipes. He's got a new cookbook.
Oh.
Jamie's Quick and Easy or something like that is what it's called. And I'm like, Headline. 15-minute meals from Jamie Oliver. I'm like, no.
Unless all the ingredients arrive at your house in a blue apron box.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And even then. I clicked on each recipe.
Uh-huh.
All three of them are pasta recipes, which are meant to be the sort of thing where while the pasta's boiling,
you do all the other things.
You do everything else.
Right.
Like make meatballs. Uh-huh. Saute a bunch of mushrooms. It's bonkers. Minimum 30 minutes. Probably 45. Just to do it all right.
Yeah.
You know.
And not cry the whole time.
Yeah. Or just get frustrated and yell at anyone who comes in the kitchen.
Right. I have 15 minutes.
So what I'm trying to say here is, Jamie Oliver, your recipes are lovely.
Stop lying.
Stop lying to everyone. Also, as you know, I am obsessed with the website Food 52.
Mm.
And there is no more back on their BS website than Food 52.
Now what?
Between Jamie Oliver's 15-minute meals and Gwyneth Paltrow's everything in life.
Oh, did you see the one today? They were talking to her about Oscar stuff, you know, because she's an Academy voter.
She is, because she's an Academy Award-winning actress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, she was saying how she was meaning to get around to seeing Rome on the big screen, but hadn't done it yet. And then they asked her about The Favorite, and her response was, "What's that?" This is why you should pay attention to critics groups and not the Academy, because these people don't even know what these movies are half the time.
Yeah. Anyway.
Food 52.
Food 52. You were saying. I'm obsessed with it because there are really good recipes on there.
Okay.
There are also really expensive things to buy for your kitchen on there.
Yes.
It is hateful and homophobic that everything is so beautiful and expensive.
How dare they?
Yes. Because I should own most of these things, and yet I do not. And that is homophobia. Anything that inconveniences me or is out of my price range. I was on there today, and they were talking. There was an article. It's clearly advertorial article.
Mm-hmm.
The only color we're using in our kitchens now.
Oh.
What's this article?
Who's this we?
The new kitchen color trend is black.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like it's 1983 and you've got like a Nagel print on the wall in there. Everything's black. Utensils, bowls, cookware, the new Le Creuset, blah, blah, is black.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Do not serve me soup in a black bowl.
You can serve me soup. I don't care what color the bowl is.
No, I need to know what color the soup is, and I'm not going to know if you give it to me in a black bowl.
All right, true.
Like, this is not one of those restaurants where we're all blindfolded and eating in the dark and, you know, like, letting our taste make up for the missing senses. No, I'd like to see what's going on. Thank you very much.
And I just thought, does anyone actually think like this? Do people actually think, oh, I need to get the new, because they were really poo-pooing on,
The thing we made you buy last year?
Items of trendy colors that will look so dated in a while. And I'm like, who cares?
Oh, yeah, like because black is so universal when it comes to cookware and dining. Sheesh.
You want to talk about a dated kitchen? I'm looking at it right here from this dining room table.
Mm.
The wood is not the cool color of stain.
Yeah.
It's from like the 70s. The tile is from the
50s, mm-hmm.
literally put in this kitchen when the building was built.
Yes.
Vintage tile from the 50s in that kitchen. And it's yellow and brown and gold and green and like all those colors that eventually became very popular in the 70s. And then never again.
I'm trying to imagine.
By rights, we should have an avocado green refrigerator.
Right.
In that kitchen. Instead, we have the trendy from 10 years ago.
Chrome.
Stainless steel front.
Yeah.
Because after a minute, like, suddenly at Sears, everything was stainless steel.
Yes. Back when there was a Sears.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine, like, the goth equivalent of Kay Thompson in Funny Face sweeping into Food 52 and being like, black everything.
Wednesday Adams.
There you go. Thank you.
Black. Get out of here.
Hard pass, Food 52.
I'm not opposed to the color black. Most of my clothes are that color.
Yes. Do you want a black spoon?
But our kitchen, no.
No?
No. Not into it. I'm happy with the way things are.
Yeah.
And I don't care if my stuff is the wrong color.
And that's, look, if the food's good, nobody cares
what color the color is. Okay, we're going to jump back to TV here for a second.
Yes.
To wrap this up.
Okay.
Because I've wrapped up all the food items. Mm. The food topics of conversation. Except there's so much more to talk about with the Green New Deal and agriculture. I've got this long article about it that I'm started to dig into.
Ah.
And it's that kind of thing where you're learning while you read. So you have to go back and reread it again so you can make sure that you learned it right. So more on that later. That's the peppy topic. That's the subject you all can't wait to hear about. Oh, you're going to hear about it. We've all got to get smart about this and learn these things so we can talk to our legislators and say, you need to do this and this and this and this. And why aren't you doing this and this and this and this? Because I know it because I've read about this and I've studied it. So that's my task. Read about this and yell at you guys, and you in turn go and yell at your people. Everyone yelling. It's going to be a great 2019 and 2020. There's going to be so much yelling. I dropped back in on our friends at God Friended Me.
Oh, boy. How are they?
Well,
what's happening?
Dude doesn't seem to even be a podcaster anymore. Like, I can't.
Oh, really?
I can't figure out if he still has the podcast.
He got usurped by Allison Sweeney.
Well, you know how that happens. I don't think he's an atheist anymore.
Oh, bro, boo.
But here's the thing. Like, because in the episode that I saw, there was no mention of atheism or a podcast.
Oh, okay. It's now a cooking show.
Now I have to jump back in and find out what the deal is. Mm.
You miss a month and suddenly it's a whole different show.
More than a month. I bailed on them for a good dozen episodes.
Yeah.
Because the show sucks.
Ugh.
It's so bad. Oh. But remember how we were talking about last episode of Linoleum Knife, Happy Death Day?
Uh-huh.
The guy from Happy Death Day that we recognized, and he was Pi in Life of Pi?
Yes.
Well, guess who he is on God Friended Me?
He hasn't been the IT guy all
along.
He's
the IT guy on God Friended Me.
Oh, my gosh. That was him? Oh, brother. Okay. Well, I'm glad he's working.
Because when I saw him in Happy Death Day, I was like, you're cute in the face. Who are you? I've seen you before.
I didn't ever even connect it that he was the God Friended Me.
You're a handsome young man. I think I know. It's not just that I think you're good looking. I think I know who you are.
Right.
Yeah, he's the guy on God Friended Me. He's the best friend.
Okay.
He's the IT best friend.
Suraj Sharma, I believe is his name.
Suraj Sharma. I don't have his name in front of me. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So, none of them have jobs anymore. They're all just wandering around the streets of New York, piecing together clues.
Oh, wait. She's not writing for, like, not BuzzFeed anymore?
Not that we can see.
Oh, brother.
Like, it seems like they've abandoned all pretense of these people having actual jobs other
Suraj Sharma, yes.
Okay. Jobs other than cosmically hooking people up together.
Oh, brother. Is this still Facebook-centric?
Well, so here's the thing.
Oh, boy.
There's a new character coming into the show. I can't remember now who it is.
The Patton Oswalt character?
There's a character coming onto the show who's like the head of the corporation.
Uh-huh.
And they
what corporation?
The corporation that the IT guy works for.
I see.
And the and they're questioning whether or not that guy is the one who's behind the God account. But check it out. If there's a human being behind the God account, then that human being has supernatural powers. Because otherwise the show makes literally no sense. Because every single thing that has happened on this show has been like brought together by sort of divine intervention.
Deus ex machina.
Yeah. And so there can't be a person involved in this, a real flesh and blood person. Otherwise, how would they have gotten that done? It would mean that there actually are crisis actors in the world. That this person has hired people to go around portraying people who need to intervene in the life of the guy with the atheist podcast.
Just to prove a point.
Yeah. So here's the other thing. His father, who is an Episcopal... Don't spit those words out in English. His father, who is an Episcopal priest...
Played by Joe Morton, yes.
They are now finally using the word priest to describe him.
Ah.
Remember how at the beginning...
He was a pastor.
They were
or something?
Saying, "My father's a reverend. My father yes. is a reverend. He's a reverend. My father. What's your father do for a living? He's a reverend." I'm like, no one says that. They say Reverend Joe or whatever your name is. Like, no one says you are a reverend. They say he's a priest or he's a pastor or he's a preacher or he's a
deacon,
a priest
or something.
Or yeah, whatever. Well, they finally got their Episcopalianese right. They're calling him a priest now because that was a whole subplot about. He's the old priest. They brought in a new young priest to give Bibi his assistant and eventually transition into the position when it came time for old priest to retire.
I see. Don't tell me younger priest really knows how to reach out to the people on social media.
He's got some big ideas.
Uh-huh.
He has some big ideas for the parish.
Because it's CBS.
And... GD it, I got to start watching this show again to find out what's happening.
Because here's the thing.
Gary Cotty, friend and neighbor, is going to be very happy about this because he was a little disappointed when I said, I'm done for now, when I stopped.
Because it'll
carry him through that sad interim period between the end of The Bachelor and the beginning of The Bachelorette.
Fair enough. Because, you know, of all the places that shouldn't be having shows about podcasters, it's CBS and Hallmark Channel, both of which have an average demographic of 95.
What is this
podcasting
you're talking about?
Is that some sort of farming technique?
So anyway, other than that, you have not watched this yet, but I've held it in TiVo for you. The new season of At Home with Amy Sedaris has
yes.
started up again. I'm curious as to what sort of ratings a person needs at True TV to get another season.
Well, they brought back I'm Sorry.
Okay, but then why did they cancel Talk Show the Game Show when it was so great?
Good question. I don't know.
At Home with Amy Sedaris is a show I cannot stop watching, and yet when I laugh, it's like this, like...
Because it's darker.
She is so devoutly weird.
Mm.
And without any concern about what it means to anyone observing it. Like, she's one of our most pure performers, I think, in that she seems to literally not care if she makes a living. So she keeps doing it.
Yeah.
She's a voice in The Lion King.
Huh.
Yeah. So the paycheck happened.
Yeah.
But
she gets those elf checks every Christmas.
Yeah, she's an elf as well. So she's either been really savvy about it.
But she's very uncompromising.
But she just doesn't. She does not meet you where you are. You go to her.
Yes.
the TiVo picked up an episode from last season that I had not seen called Lovemaking.
Oh.
And it was, she said, the whole thing was, we're going to perform the craft of lovemaking. Gross this episode about, you know, body scents and things like that. The first episode of season two is called Teenagers, and it's just about how to talk to teens, how to relate to teens. She's trying to get this teen to do crafts with her. He's like, I don't care. No. It's just, it's, and of course at the end they sing a song together sitting in a tree. Like, there's no, there's no, changing her. And I don't know who watches it. And they may watch it just because it's her.
Yeah.
Like, her fans are devoted to her. I mean, that's me.
Sure.
I'll follow her anywhere. Because she's a freak. Like, for all the praise that people heap on her brother, the writer, who he's equally a weirdo.
Yes.
But he's not an actor.
Right. She's a performative weirdo.
He seems so much more conventional than she is. And because she's an actor, her weirdness is right in your face and you're looking at it and you're hearing it.
Well, and also, this
she's got, you know, her nose taped up with Scotch tape, so she looks like got a piggy face. And she's like, yeah, this is my character. Yeah.
And she's doing this show where she's not playing a character in the sense of, the show is called At Home with Amy Sedaris, right. And you were supposed to think that she is Amy Sedaris.
This is her cooking and crafting
yes,
show.
You are watching Amy Sedaris.
You will never learn how to cook a thing or craft a thing. Yeah. Yeah.
So she's not even giving herself that veil of, like, you know, at home with, you know, Madge Tompkins or something,
right,
you know.
Right. I will definitely check it out. She's got great people. Cola Scola, Bridget Everett, that dude from Look Around You, whose name I can't remember because it's so long.
I know who you mean. Stefanowicz.
Yeah.
Didn't Matthew Broderick on the teen
Matthew
episode?
Matthew Broderick is on. Well, she's been old buddies with Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker for forever.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was in the Strangers with Candy movie, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, and she was on Sex and the City once or twice.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And you can tell the whole set has been designed by, like, Todd Oldham, because it's just this weird treehouse meets Pee-wee's Playhouse meets, like, some suburban lady from 1967. Frozen in Time.
I will definitely be catching up.
I'm into it.
Cool.
I don't know why I'm into it, but I'm into it. Did you send me a letter?
We do. Yes, we had one letter. We had one TV-related letter from last week.
Do I have it written down
you
anywhere?
Should have it in your inbox.
I don't know if I do. Let me hunt. Maybe. Well, I got one. Maybe.
Here's where I'll take my second opportunity to remind you about patreon.com.
Oh, that's all you need.
/linoleumknife. Where LKTV and Linoleum Knife and Fork live.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, I just clicked on new mail.
Oh, brother.
Past the mail, past the news. Jussie Smollett is out on bail. By the way,
yes.
Speaking of Mr. Smollett, when this incident took place, it was one of the first things we talked about on Linoleum Knife, that episode, I remember. We got on the mic and we were like, we're so angry about this. Because we thought it was real.
Yes.
And for all we know, it might still be real. Like, whatever happens is going to happen.
Yeah.
And whatever comes out as true is going to come out. I still maintain the stance of believing people until otherwise proven wrong.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people are harshing on people who believed it immediately and went after Trump people, you know.
Which was part of the narrative.
Which was part of the narrative. But I'll tell you something. Even if everything about this is made up, it could have really happened. Because the MAGAs have already killed one person in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
So it's not like they aren't out for, you know, violence anyway.
And
so I maintain my stance here of, if you're wearing that hat, you're a racist. And you condone all the things, all the vile and violent things that this president and his administration have done.
That the president is saying nothing about the white supremacists with the cache of firearms and the list of targets, but does go after Jesse Smollett. I don't want to hear about it from you.
Yeah. Anyway, I just had to bring that up a little bit because I know someone was asking me, well, you guys really went in on this at first. And I said, yeah, we did. And my position is still the same.
Yeah,
even if it turns out to be fake, that doesn't mean that people aren't being attacked. And even if it's turned out to be fake, it doesn't mean the MAGA people aren't awful.
I don't regret believing him. My first instinct is always going to be to believe people until, as you say, it is proven that they are not telling the truth.
Daniel McVeigh, hello Daniel, asks regarding television, have you watched any of the old Flip Wilson shows on Get TV? The amazing thing is that they still have some really funny bits, as opposed to most other variety shows from that era where the humor now falls flat. Richard Pryor, Lily Tomlin, they're on it. They're both still really funny.
It's been a while. There was a moment a few years back where I did catch some Flip Wilson reruns, and they were as good as I remember. Like, I remember loving that show as a kid, even though most of the humor was no doubt flying right over my head.
Absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, we should check those out.
Most of it, yeah.
We'll get on it, Daniel.
The other thing we're going to get on is that Chevron station.
Only after the lines die down, because you know right now it's going to be insane.
Food and wine. I know I said I was done with food topics, but Food and Wine posted an article about restaurants in the Valley, places in the Valley you should try. Now, I go to the Valley, you know, like any person does in Los Angeles, because the Valley is great. But I rely sometimes on people telling me, yeah, you should go to this restaurant or that restaurant in the Valley, because you don't live there.
Has Jason taken you to that, like, cheeseburger stand?
Yes.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it.
Me too.
It was really good, though. There's a breakfast burrito place. And I'll pull up the name again later, after we go there and eat it. There's a breakfast burrito counter in a Chevron station in the Valley that got written up in Food and Wine magazine. And now my curiosity is overwhelming me. Because I want a breakfast burrito any morning that I wake up. You hand one to me, and I will eat it happily. And that will be a delicious breakfast for me. But if Food and Wine is telling me to drive over the hill into a valley to go to a Chevron station and get a breakfast burrito at their breakfast burrito counter, sure, I'm going to do that.
Well, yeah.
And I don't care if there's a line, and I bet there's probably going to be a little bit of a line because, you know, jerks like us read about something in Food and Wine and then run across town. I'm very hungry, is what I'm trying to say, and I will go where someone tells me to go if they say there's something delicious to be had there. The end. This is the end of Linoleum Knife and Fork. This is the end of LKTV. This is the end of Not Linoleum Knife. Linoleum Knife will come back next week after Alonzo Duralde comes home from the Jewish Film Festival in Atlanta.
Yes.
Where we will then have seen many films to talk about. The end.
Yes. So thank you for listening. Check out our friends on the internet. Check out my other shows. Go to MaximumFun.org and listen to Who Shot Ya. Check out the Breakfast All Day podcast. We're on YouTube, and we're also on, you know, Spotify and Stitcher and all the other places. Go to ChristyLemire.com. Listen to Canceled Too Soon and Critically Acclaimed from our friends Bibbs and Whitney. And check out everything on the Schmoes No Network. Also give a listen to Dennis Anyone with Dennis Hensley and All Things Coach. Josie and the comics canon and Sewers of Paris and the Fat Guys of the Movies and the Criterion Cast and Secretly Timid. Subscribe to this show at Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. It helps a great deal.
I don't need no 4, 3, 2, or 1s.
5, baby. 5.
Don't waste my time.
You can also leave us positive feedback in all of the places where we can stream, which is pretty much all the podcatchers. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Play. We can be followed on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Linoleum Cast. Thank you, Blue, for our wonderful theme music.
You can follow me on the Twitter and the Instagram at D. Leland White.
Yes, I'm at A. Duralde, A-D-U-R-A-L-D-E. I believe Blue on Twitter is at Blutopia, B-L-E-U-T-O-P-I-A. Yeah. And you can drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com with questions or comments. We love hearing from you. We don't necessarily get to all the letters on the air, but we're giving it our best shot.
You should also go to Google and check out the words, when you Google the words Los Angeles and snow, and find out what happened today in our city.
Yeah. It's a crazy thing.
It snowed here today.
Climate change is real, y'all. It is very, very real. All right.
It snowed here today. Not in our neighborhood.
We hope
other parts of the city.
We hope you enjoyed this delectable taste of these special shows.
Delectable.
And come back for more. And if nothing else, come back for more Linoleum Knife. We'll be back next week. All right. Y'all are great. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Goodbye.